welcome back to Eating Adventures, a food search exploring must-eats in notable restaurants. Order up.
I'm Chloe.
And I'm Haley. And this week we're going to be continuing our Opposites Alike episode series, and this is for spring break. And we know we haven't been on for a while, but we've been busy people. It's really busy season for juniors right now. But
you can catch us on the morning show, Breakfast on the Bridge.
Mm-hmm, that's where we were last week.
That's where we were. Not food related.
Yeah.
But still Shakespeare super fun. Related.
Yeah.
We do lots of trivia.
So this week we're doing a part two of where we went for spring break. So the restaurants we went to, where we went, Chloe headed to Oahu, Hawaii, and I was over on the East Coast touring colleges. So yeah, we're just going to continue off where we left off last time. So do you want to go first, Chloe?
Okay, I can start. In the last episode, I talked about my very favorite two things in Hawaii, Island Vintage, and the two katsu restaurants that we went to. But my third favorite is this little teeny tiny shop. It's this kind of like hole in the wall. The store is probably just as big as this podcasting studio. A very small box called...
That small?
This small. It's called Musubi Invento Iyasumi. I probably said that wrong. But anyways, I was looking for some good spam musubi, you know, Hawaiian classic. And my mom remembered this restaurant from, like, years ago. It's not even a restaurant. It's just, like, a little... It kind of reminds me of a stationery store, how you go in with, like, a little basket and shop for your things and pay and get out. So that's what we did. It's, like, six trays of different types of musubi, and you can choose what you want. I got two different kinds. I got a spam musubi, which is, like, the classic canned ham, spam, rice, and seaweed. And then another one with shrimp tempura, spam, and avocado. They were both very good. It was nice because we took them back to the beach, so it was like spam by the beach.
Okay.
And the store is just so cute. I would definitely go back. I highly recommend. And they're always just putting out fresh food.
That does sound scrumptious. When you said the beach, that really sold me.
Mm-hmm.
That's such good vibes.
Spam with the view.
So Hawaiian view. So Hawaii vibes.
It was very peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
It was a relaxing experience.
How do they, like, operate if their store is that small? Do you think they work in the back?
There's this, like, teeny tiny sliver of counter that they just work on.
That's crazy.
I'm sure that they have, like, a kitchen in the back, but, like, the actual storefront,
mm-hmm.
very small. Only, like, two people can fit in the store at a time. But it's
wow.
so fun to go to.
So you did find a hole in the wall. It's a literal hole
mm-hmm.
in the wall. That's kind of funny. The
so
definition.
Fun. Yep. How about your restaurant? How about you tell us where you are first?
Yeah.
Are you in Connecticut, Boston, Chicago?
So basically, I went over to Connecticut first to tour over there. And then we took the train up to Boston. And we left off at, like, the first Boston restaurant we went to, which was Crazy. And then next, we went to Felipe's Taqueria, and it's in Harvard Square, a very cute, very touristy area, and it was, like, very quick because they have, like, counter service, so you basically stand in, like, the two lines, and then they make your taco right in front of you. So my mom and I, we ordered the pork and fish tacos, and then we also wanted to try their flautas, which are basically, like, they take a tortilla, and then they put, like, filling in it, so in this case, it was, like, chicken, and they roll it up, and they deep fry it. And that was scrumptious, too. And we also tried their churro, which was supposed to be, like, the best in the area. But I thought it was pretty average. But I really liked their taco. And I think they're known for their burritos because, like, literally everyone in line was getting a burrito. But I just wasn't in the mood for a burrito. But I think if I were to go there again, I'd get a burrito.
How was the dish that you got? Was it good besides...
Mm-hmm.
Besides the dessert or whatever you didn't like?
No, I like the tacos. I thought they were fresh, well-made. It's cool because you get to, like, see them make it right in front of you, so you know it's good because you're watching them.
You know it's clean.
Well, yeah, you know it's going to be good because
mm-hmm.
if you're watching them, they have that pressure on them to make it good.
Is it, like, Los Tacos number one in New York City, kind of?
A little bit, yeah. That's kind of what it reminded me of. But a little different because they use more vegetables, more, like, fresh ingredients. Los Tacos is more they focus on, like, the meat as, like, their
mm-hmm.
center dish. And then next, after we had our scrumptious lunch, we wanted to get dessert, so we went to Mike's Pastry, which is, like, really known for their cannoli, and is pretty famous around the Boston area. So I got my first cannoli, I think, and it was really good. It was really, like, rich and heavy, and you could definitely only eat one because it's, like, huge, but it was cool to try. Because we got, like, the cannoli that's, like, filled with cream, and then it had, like, chocolate chips on the outside, so a little crunch.
I was going to say, what kind did you get? Because I saw that usually it's, like, the classic vanilla or whatever kind of cream they use, but I've seen, like, chocolate before and different things.
They had a whole bunch of different flavors, but it was fun to try because I've never had one before, and I didn't realize how, like, big and heavy they were.
What is, like, the pastry dough kind of texture?
It's kind of, like, it's, like, crunchy, but it's not, like, hard. It's kind of, like, it reminds me of a waffle cone, but with different dough, in a way.
So not a waffle cone.
Well, like, the texture of a waffle cone, okay. But, like,
so it's, like, crunchy.
Yeah, more crunchy. Yeah.
Interesting.
And then I think it was either that night or the night after, my mom and I went to this place called Salty Girl Seafood Bar, and it was recommended to her by a couple of her work friends. And we had the lobster roll, which is what Boston, like, prides itself on. And that was a very interesting experience. The lobster was, like, super fresh.
Did it live up to the Boston hype?
Mm-hmm, it did live up to the hype. The lobster was fresh, the bread was soft. And then we also got the clam chowder, which was also scrumptious.
Do you put other things in a lobster roll besides lobster?
I don't think so. They had, like, lobster in it, lots of, like, butter, lots of, like, rich sauce, and then put it in the roll, which was super soft. And then on the side, it was kind of funny. They had, like, salt and vinegar chips, and that kind of gave it a good contrast. Like, you wouldn't think it would go together, but it does.
Like, I don't think I've ever been to a restaurant that serves salt and vinegar chips.
Really? I, like, normally don't like salt and vinegar chips, yeah. But in that instance, it was good.
Good to know.
It really, like, cuts through the sweetness. Mm-hmm.
What's your rating of the lobster roll on a scale of 1 to 10?
I think I give it, like, an 8. Like, the lobster was really good. Like, the lobster was really fresh. Like, I could eat the lobster by itself.
Are you a lobster fan?
Mm-hmm. I love a good lobster. Are you a lobster fan?
Not exactly. I'll eat, like, lobster with something else, but I won't, like, eat just lobster.
Interesting. Okay. Well, moving on, what was your next place that you had in Hawaii, Chloe?
This will be my last restaurant that I talk about, but it's my most interesting restaurant. My mom and I were looking for a place to eat dinner because a lot of restaurants in Hawaii are booked so far out in advance, and this place was booked like 4 or 5 months out in advance. But we walked in and got a table at this restaurant called The Pig and the Lady. We took a taxi to Oahu's Chinatown, and it was not that far of a drive, so taxis can get expensive in Oahu, but I think it was well worth it. This restaurant is known for their fried chicken wings, and when I think of fried chicken wings, I think of, like, Wingstop, where it's, like, those tiny wings that, like, you would eat in 2 bites, but no. We got fried chicken wings at The Pig and the Lady, and when it came out, it was, like, 4 big, huge chicken arms.
Arms?
Arms.
What does that even mean?
Chicken arms. They're wings, but, like, not wing size. They're, like, wing size.
Like, they're their actual wings.
Yes, like, the entire thing.
Dang. Did you eat it all?
The sauce was very good. We ate the entire 2 chicken arms, chicken wings. Sorry, chickens. But they were very good. I don't really know what kind of sauce that they used. It was more of, like, a fish sauce, like a Vietnamese fish sauce. And I think that complemented the chicken really well.
Love good fish sauce.
This restaurant kind of puts a twist on, like, Asian food. It's a Vietnamese restaurant, but, like, a new Vietnamese, kind of modern.
So, like, Vietnamese-American in a way-ish?
But not.
Okay.
It's a very interesting take on Vietnamese food because they serve cauliflower. We got the cauliflower, and I was, you know, expecting to get a bunch of pieces of little heads of cauliflower, but it came with, like, a quarter of one big head, which is not what I was expecting. It had a very good sauce that went with it. I would definitely get it again. It came with just, like, these spring vegetable salad on the side, which was also good. But I think the main thing that I liked at the restaurant is their pho. It's what got that restaurant popular. It was really unique because they, like, handmade their noodles. So they were, like, thick noodles instead of, like, your typical thin pho noodles.
Mm-hmm.
And their soup base was also very good. And it came with, like, this big, huge beef bone. So.
Oh, you love your big beef bones. How do you compare to, like, Saigon Shack in New York, which is, like, your favorite Vietnamese restaurant?
I think the restaurants are both very different. This one is more, like, I feel like they experiment with their flavors more, whereas Saigon Shack in New York is more of, like, your a bland palate, but, like, they do it,
like,
good.
Like, classic, like,
yes.
Traditional. Interesting. That's scrumptious. I love a good hand-pulled noodle. It just makes it feel more, I don't know, fresh, I guess, because, you know, because usually, like, the noodles that are thinner, they're dried, previously, like, dried, so they come in, like, packets, like, pastas. So it's kind of just, like, extra freshness.
Yeah, this one you could definitely tell that they were handmade. And I think it's so funny because we got a large bowl, but my mom and I were not super hungry, so we split it into two. And I feel like they gave us, like, double the noodles. It was a lot, but it was really good.
That sounds so scrumptious. But pho in Hawaii, though, that's an interesting choice. Pho when it's hot outside.
Do you have more Boston, Chicago restaurants to go through?
Yes. So basically, now we're on, like, the last day we're in Boston, and we were just, like, shopped around in the morning, and then we went to this burger restaurant, Crazy Good Kitchen, because I was craving a burger, and it hit the spot. It was, like, right near all the shops, so it was, like, perfect location. And yeah, just, like, a regular standard classic scrumptious burger. It was pretty thick too, lots of patties, and yeah.
You guys hit a lot of restaurants on this trip.
Mm-hmm. Well, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you have to eat it somewhere.
You're, like, maximized.
Exactly. And then, like, originally our flight was at 4 or 3, so we wouldn't have that long in Boston, but then it got delayed until, like, 10 p.m. So then we had the entire day left ahead of us, and we just didn't know what to do with ourselves. So then we, like, took the train, and we took the underground thing to Quincy Market. Have you heard of that? I don't know.
It's
in Boston, and it's, like, this indoor kind of market with lots of, like, shops, food
like
shops.
Chelsea Market.
Yeah, kind of like Chelsea Market. But yeah, basically we just kind of walked around there, and this was, like, a different part of Boston than where we were staying, because, like, my mom and I, we stayed near where the shopping was, of course, which is called something, which I forgot, but it's called something. And then we went to this other area, which is more like Western Boston, near where the Boston Tea Party is.
Did you take a pic?
No, I don't think so. Because I think I walked on the bay, but I don't think I was too lazy to walk to where the Tea Party was because it was so far away.
You're already in Boston. You went so far across the country. And you just, like, didn't walk 10 extra steps.
Do I really want to walk 30 minutes to go see where people dumped tea?
You could have tasted the water to see if the tea leaves were still there.
Maybe where I was walking was where the Boston Massacre happened. Maybe I was where George Washington... Wait, did he fight in it? I assume so. Maybe I was where George Washington fought and won the war. Maybe I stepped where his horse has stepped. Okay. You never know in Boston.
And millions of other people.
Yeah, you never know in Boston. But anyways, we were walking around that area for a very long time. And then, like, we got to this place which is known for its Italian food. It's, like, this humongous street of Italian food. And it's also part of, like, Boston's, like, Freedom Trail, which is, like, kind of, like, their touristy historical trail. And it's cool. They basically have, like, this brick path that, like, takes you through all the attractions, and they, like, literally, like, built it on the sidewalk. So, like, lots of tourists will, like, walk along that. And, like, my mom and I were planning to walk around that, but my leg, man, it was really tired. My leg's really tired. So then my mom and I walked around the Italian tree anyways, and there was lots and lots of Italian restaurants, but it was only 4 p.m., so we couldn't have Italian food or dinner yet, because we weren't hungry, but that doesn't mean we don't have room for dessert. So we went to this place called the Modern Pastry Shop, and I got, like, a Napoleon cake, Like, you know how Regent Bakery makes, like, their Napoleon cake with, like, the puff pastry layers with the cream in the inside?
Mm-hmm. This well, was, like, no, but yeah. Mm-hmm. I can just imagine okay, it. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I tried the Modern Pastry Shop one, which was solid. And then we also got, like, a mini cannoli, which had, like, a different filling. We got, like, chantilly cream, so more, like, whipped cream. And I really liked the chantilly cream. It's, like, more light.
That's good.
And airy and fluffy. And, yeah, those were basically my Boston adventures. Lots of places.
With hurting legs. Mm-hmm. That didn't allow you to walk anywhere, but you could go shopping instead.
Exactly. Exactly. But anyways, what do we do next?
Chicago.
Yes. So we got on the flight at 10 p.m., which was atrocious. And then we went to Chicago, flew on over there. I think it was like a two-hour flight. Got there at 1 a.m. And then woke up the next morning and was ready to explore the city, toured a college. And then we had a couple hours, which guess what we did with it? We went shopping. And
Let me guess. Aritzia. Free people.
Maybe. But, you know, it was such a time. And then, of course, we had to get deep dish pizza. So then my mom and I went to Lou Malnati's.
Illuminati?
No,
Luminati.
Wait, what's the Lou place called? Lou Mahali? One sec. I pronounced it wrong.
Is that where?
No, it's called Luminati. Lou Malnati.
That's where Joe went.
Yeah, that's where Joe went. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, deep dish pizza is really, really interesting. I enjoyed it. Very cheesy. I like the crust. Very, like, buttery, rich. The only thing was, like, it takes forever to make. Like, my mom and I were in a rush. Like, it's not their fault. Because, like, we were in a rush because our flight, you know, we had to leave for our flight. Mm-hmm. But then we, like, just got the mini one, and it still took, like, 30 minutes. They, like, told us that, but we were still going to be like, oh, it can't take 30 minutes because it's so small, but it still took 30 minutes.
Oh, maybe you should have listened to them.
Yeah. So, basically, don't go there if you're in a rush. If you're in a rush, either get takeout or get their other pizza.
But it was busted. Have you ever had Red Baron pizza?
No, not yet.
It's like you put it in the microwave. It's deep dish.
Oh, really?
I wanted to see how it compared. I'm sure it doesn't compare.
I mean, there is, like, one deep dish place in Seattle in New Village that I've been to. Or they had, like, a food truck at the baseball games once. I don't remember. But I'm really not remember anything today. But basically, it's in New Village, and that place has a good deep dish pizza, too.
We'll have to go and try.
Mm-hmm. But what's funny is, like, well, we were Ubering to the college. Our Uber driver was, like, a Chicago, like, native, and I was, like, asking her, like, what the best deep dish pizza was, and she was like, oh, actually, like, us, like, Chicagoans don't eat deep dish pizza. I thought that was interesting.
Tourist trap.
Exactly.
They're taking all your
money.
What
would Seattle's thing be?
Like, Pike Place.
Oh, and then I'd be like, oh, yeah, I actually never go to Pike Place.
Oh, I guess I actually sometimes thing. Do.
What is her food?
I'll go, like, once every few months.
Like, what would people be like, oh, I want to try this in Seattle? And then I'd be like, oh, I actually don't eat that. Pink
Door. Canless.
No one's going to travel around. No, those are restaurants, not, like, food groups.
Oh.
Okay.
It's just so diverse that it doesn't have a single
food.
Oh, that's
true. Mm-hmm. We pride ourselves on that. Oh, yeah, last thing. One little detail. We went to the O'Hare Airport. Super cool. And then there, I really wanted to try, like, Garrett's popcorn.
I love that. Did you get a tin?
Yeah, we got it. So then I got, like, a little bag at the airport because I really wanted to try it, but we didn't have time to stop by the store in Chicago. So I got it at the airport, and it was good.
You didn't have time for Garrett's popcorn, but you had time for Aritzia.
Yeah, I have my priorities.
I don't know. I think popcorn takes the win on this one.
Wouldn't you rather over go to Aritzia than no, because get you can popcorn?
Just, well, I guess you can get both here. They sell it at Costco.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But they only sell the cheese and caramel one.
What's the other one that you have?
They have, like, 20 million flavors. I don't know.
Oh, really?
They just have, like, different kinds of popcorn. Yeah.
Eh, whatever. Oh, also, we couldn't see the bean because it was in construction, RIP. But, yeah, that was my little college adventure on the East Coast and in Chicago. And it was fun.
That sounds super fun. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of Eating Adventures.
You can check out our Instagram at Eating Adventures Podcast for lots of cool spring break photos. And you can also download Eating Adventures on all your favorite podcast platforms like Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcasts.
And you can also listen to us live every Wednesday at noon here on KMIH 88.9 The Bridge.